imagine you are a citizen in New York and you live in a high crime area and you are forced to walk to work and there are petty thefts, there are carjackings, you've heard gunshots on your walk to work and you want a gun. And let's take us back to a pre-2022 world. For a landmark Supreme Court case, you apply for that gun, you have to show proper cause. But wait, living or working in an area noted for criminal activity does not suffice. You are denied a gun, and you look 2 years later, an illegal immigrant, okay, they can have weapons. The landmark case in between those two was a case called Bruin, which changed the laws, which said, yep, you can get a gun, but now the illegal immigrants can too. My question for this Obama-appointed judge, are you willing to uphold all of our gun rights now, or are you just doing this to make a statement as it pertains to illegal immigrants? That's a question I'd love the answer to. Imagine
things
you
are going to start happening to me now.
You've done all the reading. You're a scholar. You're a professor. You've done all the reading. You've done the intellectual heavy lifting.
Or less, eat shit and die.
You wouldn't know a fact if it begged you all night long.
Want to, like, give the wrong impression, because I am very high.
F***ing right up behind him with a hatchet. Smash, smash, smash.
Yeah. I don't care. I'm a libertarian. What I'm getting is,
did you vote for Joe Jorgensen or Trump?
Who?
Joe Jorgensen. That was the perfect answer. Thank you.
Yeah, Tim Pool. We're going to talk about Tim Pool tonight. This is a little bit. This is Tyler Yonke. Libertarian podcast review. I hope people join us, because here's the problem we have. We are, one of it is just me. I'm a little disorganized here, but we are. And Tyler, why are you playing Tim Pool? Well, we'll get to that. Welcome everybody. If anybody's out there, we're no longer on YouTube, so we're not streaming on YouTube because we got a strike. And when did that strike? Why did we get it? Well, I'll explain that. I do the production for the Tower Gang. And what we do is we do a back pre-show. I get in there. It starts at, supposed to start at 6:11 every night. I get in there. That's Pacific, 9:11 Eastern. I get in there at 5:45 because I've got to set things up and I'm doing that. And we record that. So the guys are coming in. We're having a conversation. And then I edit that out and put it out. And I've been posting it on just unlisted to my YouTube channel. And then he put a specific link to members. And it was hate speech. So we got nailed on that. But we're alive right now on, let's see here, on, are we on Rumble? I guess let's see if we were on Rumble as well. We're on Twitter. We should be on Rumble. And then we should also be on, let's see if it's over there. Yep. Okay. It's over there. And then we should also be up on Odyssey. Yep. We're up on Odyssey as well. So there we go. So join us, people. It's tough for the chat, but we're going to try to look this week. Some shit went crazy. And so I thought we would, have a show and maybe talk about it, which is some of the, we just played on the open there. Illegal aliens. Let's see here. I'm going to tweet this out on my thing. Also on Rumble with the link here, and we'll post it. So if you guys are out there, join us, start seeing, I'm looking for JC to join us up right here. Okay, I did a tweet this week, and for me, it went crazy. So much so, and it combo that with being busy, and it's just not a good situation. Which is Let's see if I could pull this up here. So I actually just ignored Twitter altogether because I was just like, "Oh crap, I can't handle the." The notification, can't handle all the info coming in here. So let's start with this one. Let's take this one up here, which I this is what I tweeted out. And we're going to talk about it tonight. Okay. Which is, I said, if an illegal residing in the U.S. has, quote, no rights, can you just kill them? Do rights come from God or a piece of paper? Edits can be made to paper. And people, there's like over what, 8,000 or so comments here. And then this was my takeaway, and maybe I should wait on the takeaway here. But so what happened? We'll walk through the case. You've got a situation where a gentleman, and so we have to resolve some of these things. So look, when I first Garbage Main said Rumble just tried to sell me a patriotic power generator. that's perfect. How come the comments aren't coming up over in, maybe this is a YouTube problem with StreamYard. So Anyway, I'm keeping track of here, trying to make go back and forth, because we're supposed to have comments coming up from the Rumble chat. It's supposed to appear over in StreamYard, and then we're supposed to put them in there. I don't know if it has to do with the fact that we're not on YouTube. So it's going to be this way for a few weeks, people. It's just going to be the way. Okay. All right. So how do we start here? We're talking about rights. And what made me think about that is there is a case. So first of all, man, I'm all over the board. And Andy's going to love this. There were multiple cases that came out, and I see people kind of giving their takes that are just incorrect. One of them, and so I was like, look, SCOTUS, and we're going to do, I was going to do the Texas ruling. There was another one or two that came out. The Missouri thing that was out there with Ketanji Brown Jackson, some comments that she made about the First Amendment, possibly taken a little bit out of context, but she also, she was actually citing or making additional comments with Kavanaugh. Anyway, doesn't mean he's great, but anyway, there's a lot of glomming on. First, on the 18th, I think, of this month, and this last week, it was a Monday, the Supreme Court came out and they extended the stay of Texas. Now, remember that Texas was suing the federal government to be able to deport people and suing the federal government basically for, what did they say, conversion and trespass to land, about private property and public property that the federal government was coming and just destroying. So that gets appealed up. Then the feds take that to the Supreme Court in an emergency action, and they get a stay at the Supreme Court. Now, all it did was say, because the appeals court said, yes, you can put up barriers, you can continue to do this. And I think that's what they said. It's been a while here. And then the Supreme Court put a stay on it, and it didn't mean that they couldn't do that anymore. I think that's, no, there's a little part I'm missing there. Point is, Texas could still put up barriers, but they did put a stay as to some of the issues. I'm trying to remember what it was there. However, then the Supreme Court comes in and they put in this extension on this stay on the 18th, and people were going up. They ruled indefinitely that Texas couldn't have any control over their border. It's like, sorry, Clint Russell, my buddy there. That's actually what he put. And I'm like, well, yes, I think that's what he put. And I had to chime in and say, actually, it's just a stay. It could end. It's still temporary. The very next day, the Supreme Court comes out and they rule in favor of Texas. Okay? They ruled in favor of Texas. Then it goes back to the appeals court, and I want to talk a little bit about that. Now it goes back to the appeals court, and I think the lower court there then had jurisdiction over it. They were the ones that had been overruled by the appeals court that had gone up to the Supreme Court. So now it's back to the district court, and the district court, I think, threw it out at this point. They're just kind of like, we don't know what to do. Anyway, so there's some stuff here, and it gets frustrating. It gets frustrating when there's incorrect application or discussion of the law on both sides. Okay. So now you have this issue, a gentleman, an illegal alien. That's all the rage right now. He, and I'll walk through the hearing, but basically a judge comes out and says, that's what actually said here. You have a right, they said, they dismissed the case. That's what it was. He was actually arrested for possession of a gun, being illegal under 18 USC 922 G5, I think it is. I've read it a bunch of times, so it's kind of there. But that whole section, 922, is a bunch of you shall not, it's illegal if you do X, Y, and Z, and it's crazy, crazy stuff. So we'll go over that. Now, the question then is, people are like, an illegal has rights. The Constitution only applies to Americans. Does it? And that's a good question. So that was my thought here of posting that tweet out to say, look, if they don't have rights, then can you just go and kill them? Because they don't have any rights, right? Wasn't that kind of the logical conclusion of saying that? And should they have rights? And so I will say this. Let's walk through the case. I have an analysis of why this came about. And the feds fucked up, I think. And by the way, the feds aren't your friend. So that's the first thing to say right there. This is weird because I'm usually, you know, I don't know if people are watching. It says a bunch of people are watching, but you can't really get, no one's got comments coming in here. So maybe this is all bunk. Maybe it's all bunk. It says 71 views of, I don't know, no comments. Okay, so let's, first of all, let's pull up the actual case and see if I can find it. I have a bunch of I have to pull up a link here. Ruling. There we go. Now, the judge was a, and then, by the way, this case, I think, and I talked to Andy today, and you know, we're on board on a lot of the stuff, so I'm going to have to break down a bunch of things here. But I think, there we go. I think a lot of one of the problems you have is that, where is this? Why is this thing giving me so much trouble here? There we go. Wow, this isn't. Is it just spinning for you? This is great. This is wonderful. This is what happens when you let your wife watch TV while you're working. Okay, let's go over this thing. Defendant Heriberto Carbajal Flores, we'll just call him Herb, is charged with possession of a firearm while illegally or unlawfully in the United States under violation of 18 U.S.C. 922 G5. On April 13, 2022, the court denied Flores' first motion to dismiss indictment. On December 19, 2022, this court denied Flores' second motion to dismiss the indictment on Second Amendment grounds in light of recent Supreme Court case, New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, Inc. v. Bruin. So, look, there's three big cases, really, that came out recently, which are, okay, this thing is bothering me. You've got Heller in 2008. Okay, that was the district court v. Heller that allowed the, let's try this one. There we go. Maybe you can't see that well. That allowed the district court v. Heller. That was basically someone saying, hey, gun rights in District of Columbia. Supreme Court comes there and kind of revamps everything. Basically, you can use a handgun. Then McDonald comes out, which is based on the exact same kind of set of circumstances, but it's in state court. So we'll talk about the 14th Amendment and how it's evil and it should not be applied in incorporation. So Heller was perhaps correctly decided, but McDonald in 2010 then comes in, and it's the state of Illinois, city of Chicago. Same situation, having a handgun, being able to have it in the city. And they ruled for the plaintiff there as well, and that he could, and it revamped things. Now, the difference in this one is that McDonald now in 2010 incorporated the Second Amendment to the federal government, I mean, to the states, which means you have Second Amendment protection to the states in 2010. By the way, that's just recent. It wasn't before it then incorporated, right? So people think that, oh, the Second Amendment just applies to the states. Well, it hasn't always. Matter of fact, it just 2010 is when that happened there. Okay, so you've got that. Then you had Bruin, this case in Bruin, and the Supreme Court basically came and said, you've got to have a historical perspective of infringement or regulation to be able to do this. So there's a whole new set of circumstances you have to take to do so. Then Atkinson is another one, and Atkinson is on point here in a sense. I think it's a parallel district, so it's not precedent holding, but perhaps because Bruin had sent it back down for reconsideration, or Bruin was the new one with the statutes, and now Atkinson was sent back. So Atkinson v. Garland, it's in 2023. It comes out after this gentleman Flores had already petitioned the court, and he had been denied. And remember, he was arrested. He was an illegal alien that was arrested for having in possession of a gun in the city of Chicago. Okay, and we'll get to the facts here in a bit. Now, you don't just get to say, hey, I want you to re-litigate this case and file a new motion. But since there's new facts and new law that comes into it, you can actually do a motion to reconsider reconsideration. And that's exactly what ends up happening here. So they said, in light of the Third Circuit's recent decision in Range v. Garland and the Seventh Circuit's decision in Atkinson v. Garland, for the reasons below, this court grants the motion to dismiss. So they dismiss his motion. They grant his motion to dismiss. They dismiss the case then for being basically under 922 G5, section 18, section 922 G5, which is, hey, you're an illegal, and being illegal. Andy says, I want you to stay on task. No one comment. He's distracted like a puppy. I am. That's true. And I didn't have any kind of... format here, so I'm just going to go off this. Oh, here we go. Finally, we get it. Gun rights are only for people who you like, right? Stoney, thanks for commenting. I know you've been in on the thread here in on Twitter. I really haven't been able to do much on that Twitter thread because I've been super busy, so it just hasn't been for me to do. Okay, let's get back on task here, Andy. You really want to do this. So once again, we're going back to, I want to talk real quick about these two cases, Atkinson v. Garland and Range v. Garland. Okay, Garland, it was Merrick Garland. You sue the attorney general two different times, and I believe I've got these two cases right, which they're very similar, which is someone had, they had a felony previously in their career, in their life. One of them was like 18 years old. It was like one case of mail fraud. He pled to it. But then from that point, it's been many years. Now, you can also, people, I used to do these kind of things, expungements. Someone has a felony on their record, you know, from when they're 18. Now they're 60 years old. They want to get a gun. So you have to try to get your record expunged. And I think that's up to the governor. So you have to, you know, basically it's as if it never happened, which means a felony is taken off your record and now you can apply for a gun. Okay. Well, in this case, the guy's like, look, I shouldn't be restricted in the first place. Okay. Sure. I had a felony, but that you shouldn't be able to have this restriction on my Second Amendment rights in the first place. So one of them, you know, he's a good upstanding citizen. He hadn't had any issues with the law since this time. He now had a job. He had a family. He was making money. He was a good, upstanding person in the community. Okay, you wouldn't know anything about it. And basically, they come apart with Atkinson, and they're like, yeah. So you have to do this analysis. And with this analysis, we'll break those down. Okay, let's walk through here a little bit more. The court presumes familiarity with its April 13, 2022 order denying Flores' first motion to dismiss. As relevant here, on June 1, 2020, Flores possessed a handgun in Little Village neighborhood of Chicago, the Windy City, Chicago, Illinois. Flores contends that he received and used the handgun for self-protection and protection of property. Because of Flores' citizenship status, he was charged in violation of 18 U.S.C. 922 G5, which prohibits any non-citizen who is not legally authorized to be in the United States from, quote, possessing or in effecting commerce any firearm or ammunition, or to receive any firearm or ammunition which have been shipped or transported interstate or foreign commerce. There you go. Yeah, Flores' criminal record reflects no felony convictions. On February 26, 2024, pretrial services issued a pretrial release status update on Flores. The report found that Flores has consistently adhered to and fulfilled all of the stipulated conditions of his release. Pretrial services has conducted numerous employment visits at various sites, and Flores consistently provides the necessary documentation to verify his income when requested. A criminal record check conducted through National Crime Information Center reflects no new arrests or outstanding warrants. Now, I assume he's not deported. So he's doing all this in the U.S. still, okay, which is an interesting little tidbit. However, other than possessing a gun and coming over here illegally, he seems to be a quality guy. Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 12b1. Okay, now they're going to talk about, like, look, you can't just go about and ask for the court to relitigate this case. They've already done that. That's what called res judicata. It's such. But when there are additional facts or new court cases, new law in effect that might have changed the situation, you do get to have what's called a motion to reconsider. So a motion for reconsideration, initial matter, the court addresses whether it is proper to reconsider its prior ruling. Flores has styled his motion as a renewed motion to dismiss the indictment. The motion is, in effect, a motion for reconsideration of an issue already decided by this court, whether Section 922 G5 is constitutional under the Second Amendment. Although the rules of this criminal procedure do not authorize or even mention motions to reconsider, United States, and it breaks this down, I don't really want to get into the minutiae there. Basically, therefore, motions to reconsider may be filed in criminal actions and cases. That's the whole idea here. Flores asserts the Third Circuit's recent decision in Range v. Garland and the Seventh Circuit's decision in Atkinson v. Garland signify a change in law warranting dismissal of the indictment. The government argues that Carvajal Flores' motion for reconsideration must fail because neither of the two cases upon which he relies adversely affects this court's earlier decision to uphold Section 922G5 as constitutional. While this court agrees that Range is not binding on this court, the Seventh Circuit holding in Atkinson warrants discussion. And here we're going to break down the new analysis that is required to do on gun cases, thanks to Bruin via Atkinson. And Atkinson, the Seventh Circuit clarified the analysis demanded by Bruin's text and history test in considering whether Section 922 is constitutional as guidance. The Seventh Circuit proposed a set of interrelated and non-exhaustive questions that may focus the proper analysis. So then they say text and history text. Basically, is there a historical context to this regulation? And if not, then these are the tests you're going to go through. Does the Section 922 address a general societal problem that has persisted since the 18th century? Bruin, that's from the Bruin case. If this problem exists during a relative historical period, did earlier generations address it with similar or materially different means? What does history tell us about disarming those convicted of crimes generally and of felonies in particular? Among other sources, the parties could look to commentary from the founders' proposals emerging from the states' constitutional ratifying conventions and any practices of disarming felons or criminals more generally around the time of the founding and treatment of felons outside the gun context, to the extent this treatment is probative to the founders' view of the Second Amendment. When considering historical regulations and practices, the key question is whether those regulations and practices are comparable in substance to the restrictions imposed by Section 922G1. To answer the question, the parties should consider how the breadth, severity, and underlying rationale of the historical examples stack up against Section. And by the way, this really puts the context into, or the onus here, on the Second Amendment being upheld more liberally, in other words, more gun rights available to you because of the historical context of the Wild West, in a sense. Are there broader historical analogies to Section 922.1 during this test three, during the periods that Bruin emphasized, including but not limited to laws disarming dangerous groups other than felons? The parties should not stop at compiling lists of historical firearm regulations and practices. The proper inquiry, if we have explained, should focus on how the substance of historical examples compares to 922G. If the party's historical, if the party's historical inquiry identifies analogous laws, do those laws supply enough of a historical tradition, as opposed to isolated instances of regulation, to support this section? On this front, the parties should provide details about the enforcement, impact, and judicial scrutiny of these laws to the extent possible. Now, what you're getting here is, so people are going to say, and we're going to walk this through, and the opening there by McEnany, she's like, is that her name? Whatever, the questioning the Obama judge, basically, look, illegals have rights. Are you going to extend these to everybody? And the question should really be, these are now going to be, by the dictate, in a sense, extent by the Supreme Court, are going to be extended to everybody, okay? Should everybody include illegal aliens? That is the more of the question, okay? And I do, I mean, look, if you got enough, this is bad. We got some breakage up here of my video. Section 5, if the history supports defendants' call for individualized assessments or for a distinction between violent and nonviolent felons, how do we define a nonviolent or nonviolent dangerous felon? And what evidence can a court consider in assessing whether a particular felon conviction was violent? For instance, can a court consider the felony conviction itself, the facts of the underlying crime or sentencing factors? Bruin shows that these distinctions should also have firm historical support. Explaining to the court must assess whether modern or historical regulations are relatively similar, including in terms of how and why the regulations burden gun rights. Okay, so in law we have there's different types of crimes, in a sense, of moral turpitude. Okay, fraud, those kind of things. As an example, when you're applying to get your law license, if you've got any kind of criminal conviction, Even civil, they will ask what it is, and you have to give a lot of details. When I did it, I had to, they said, any court cases? I had to, yes, I did. And then I had to get a lot of explanation. It was a divorce. Okay. So it wasn't anything big, but what my law partner, my first one, he had a DUI when he was like 19 years old. And they're like, there's a problem. So he had to go through a lot of loopholes to get this taken care of. Letters. I think he'd had a few, actually. So it made a little difference here. The point is, there's other people. There was another kid in my law class that had some federal problems. No fucking way in hell is he ever getting a law license, thank God. Because it's the type of crime that it warrants yourself to just not have, well, the moral turpitude, in a sense, which is it's you're just a bad person. You're okay. Killing someone might be that. So this guy that did mail fraud, was that the type of felony that's going to be problematic? And that's kind of what we're looking at. I guess it would be similar to when you're talking about the age of consent laws, and is the Romeo and Juliet the same as a 6-year-old with a, you know, 5-year-old? There's a difference when that's a, you know, a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old, and not. Okay. While the Seventh Circuit offered these questions in context of 922G, nothing in Atkinson requires that these clarifying questions be asked only in the context of Section 922G1, or prevents these questions of being asked when analyzing the historical tradition under Bruin in other statutes. Questions 1 and 4 are general enough to be asked on any statute. Questions 2, 3, 5 may ask specific questions in the context of 922G1, but the concept of the questions can also easily be applied to other statutes. Indeed, it would likely cause more confusion to fail to apply Atkinson when assessing other statutes, given the decision goals of clarifying Bruin's historical tradition analysis. Finally, other courts in the circuit have applied Atkinson. See Gonzalez v. Flores. It's always Flores. It's these Mexicans out there, people. Thus, the court will reconsider its prior ruling in light of Atkinson. So what are you saying? I already made a ruling, and that's what the feds are saying. Hey, you already made a ruling. You can't do this. And this guy's like, hey, now, the gun law has pretty much been relaxed. Matter of fact, I fall right in line with this Ranger and Atkinson, where both of them, one of them was a little bit more egregious crimes that he had done. But the same idea. You'd had a felony. Now you want to basically have that overturned because I'm a good, upstanding citizen. And under Bruin, that's where we're going here. Okay. Let's talk about that a little bit. The Second Amendment. And by the way, we'll finally get there. We'll get to the illegal alien stuff. Cause you're like, Tyler, that's a felony. Okay. There you go. In Bruin, the Supreme Court established a framework for analyzing whether a challenged firearm regulation, or is it a felony or a misdemeanor? Firearm regulation violates the Second Amendment. First, Bruin instructs courts to determine whether the Second Amendment's plain text covers an individual's conduct. Okay? If it does, the conduct is presumptively protected, and the government bears the burden of demonstrating that the challenged regulation, quote, is consistent with the nation's historical tradition of firearm regulation. There you go. So, in other words, I would imagine what we're looking at here is has the government, do we have a historical regulation, historical, is there national historical tradition of firearm regulation for illegal aliens? Okay. Now we could talk about the immigration stuff. I mean, was there even illegal immigration when the Constitution was ratified? Was it done when the 14th Amendment was ratified in 1867 or so? The court previously held that Flores' conduct is covered by the plain text of the Second Amendment. Okay, nothing has occurred that would cause the court to depart from its prior ruling, although the Second Amendment's plain text presumptively protects firearm possession by undocumented persons. That does not end the analysis. Okay, there you go. Although the Second Amendment's plain text presumptively protects firearm possession by undocumented persons, that does not end the analysis. Okay, that could be, maybe we need to look at the Second Amendment. I know it says shall not be infringed. Okay. Well, there's just cases and cases about it, which we know, but I don't want that. I just want the plain text of the amendment. Early Second Amendment. Just why is it so difficult to just? Oh, there we go. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The right of the people. Okay. And that's, I think, what it is. It doesn't say the right of the citizens. And by the way, back in the day, the citizens were considered the citizens of the states. You usually see that. It wasn't until the 14th Amendment that kind of perturbed, changed a little bit of that. Loads of Honey says, sup here in the Rumble chat. Yeah, for some reason, I'm not getting the chats over there on the other side. But thanks for coming in, trying to join tonight, people. So basically, like I said, the 14th Amendment changes some of that, which then starts to talk about the citizens of the U.S. Basically, we could walk through the 14th Amendment here a little later. Everything goes back to the 14th Amendment, bacon and bad. But at the time of the Second Amendment and jurisprudence from previously till now, is this a new ruling according to this judge? No, not at all. Thus, the court will reanalyze the historical tradition with Atkinson's guidance. Let me repeat this one section here. Although the Second Amendment's plain text presumptively protects firearm possessions by undocumented person, that does not end the analysis. Under Bruin, if the government can show that the felon dispossession statute is part of the country's historical tradition of firearm regulation, then the statute survives. Thus, the court will reanalyze the historical tradition of with Atkins' guidance. Right there, though, that to me is a signal. Right, this person. I don't know much about this judge. I would be presidents make mistakes in putting on judges on the court. We've seen that over and over again. Maybe Obama messed up and put someone on there that's a strict constitutionalist, right? A textualist in a sense, like. This is what it says. Look, the Second Amendment says nothing about undocumented. And maybe I'm just going off of that. I don't know. That's why I'm leaning here. So, the good part of a lot of this for us, and this is where this ruling has broken the brains on both sides. Okay. The left goes, wait, you didn't take his gun? No one should have guns. Not even this vaunted, wonderful, illegal alien who we love, even he shouldn't have a gun. And then the right's like, yeah, everyone should have a gun, but illegal alien? I don't think so. So you have Arne McIntyre freaking out. You had the Libertarian Party who's doing whatever kind of stuff in the middle, kind of like where I am. I mean, I've got questions. And I'll get to the solution here and why, what happened wrong, why this came and it's biting, I think, the federal government in the, is it in the leg? Perhaps. The government argues that the historical record establishes that legislatures categorically disarm, one, individuals who were not members of the political community, and two, individuals who threaten the social order through their untrustworthy adherence to the law. This court recently issued opinions guided by Atkinson's on identical 922G1 challenges that discuss the government's position regarding the untrustworthy adherence to the law historical analog. And then they cite the case there. Because the government's arguments are identical, in this case, the court adopts and incorporates the reasoning of those opinions as to the finding of section 922G5 is facially constitutional. Okay. The court now turns to Flores as applied challenge of section 922G5's constitutionality. The court found that the British loyalist example in the untrustworthy adherence to the law, historical analog, excuse me, contained an exception allowing British loyalists to sign loyalty oaths. Griffin, 23 WL, I don't know what the reference is here. This exception necessarily requires an individualized assessment to determine if the former British loyalist is so, quote, untrustworthy or, quote, dangerous that they should be barred from possessing a weapon. The court also determined, and then look, that's where they're going back to, the historical precedent of of an alien possessing a gun. Is it something that's so historical in tradition of regulation under the Second Amendment? Based on the government's historical analog, where exceptions were made that allowed formerly untrustworthy British loyalists to possess weapons, the individuals who fell within the exception were determined to be nonviolent during their individual assessments, permitting them to carry firearms. While the analysis in Griffin was in the context of felons in possession of firearms, the court finds that the identical government arguments and analogs and analogies are equally applicable to non-citizens unlawfully present in the country. Thus, to the extent the exception shows that some British loyalists were permitted to carry firearms, despite the general prohibition, the court interprets this history as supporting an individualized assessment of Section 922 G5, as the court previously found with Section 922 G1. Look, people, we're almost done. There's only 8 pages here, so we're just about done. The government argues that Flores is a non-citizen who is unlawfully present in this country. The court notes, however, that Flores has never been convicted of a felony, a violent crime, or a crime involving the use of a weapon. Even in the present case, Flores contends that he received and used the handgun solely for self-protection and protection of property during the time of documented civil unrest in the spring of 2020. Which is, it's so fascinating there because, and we'll talk about that here. Basically, he wanted to shoot black people. I think that's what he's looking at. Additionally, pretrial and stupid whites. Pretrial service has confirmed that Carbajal Flores has consistently adhered to and fulfilled all the stipulated conditions of his release, is gainfully employed, and has no new arrests or outstanding warrants. The court finds that Flores' criminal record containing no improper use of a weapon as well as the nonviolent circumstances to his arrest do not support the findings that he poses a risk to public safety such that he cannot be trusted to use a weapon responsibly and should be deprived of his Second Amendment right to bear arms in self-defense. Thus, this court finds that, as applied to Carbajal Flores, Section 922 G5 is unconstitutional. Conclusion, non-citizen possession statute 18 U.S.C. 922 G5 violates the Second Amendment as applied to Carbajal Flores. Thus, the court grants Flores' motion to dismiss. It is so ordered. Sharon Johnson Coleman, U.S. District Judge. Blah. Okay. And we got a Mexican you. Okay. So what's the takeaway for that? Well, basically what's interesting there is this judge had a ruling from Atkinson, ruling from Range, ruling from Bruin, and applied it, I think, correctly in that case. I'm going to back up a little bit here, and we'll talk about rights of immigrants as to where they extend here and what the historical perspective is. But here's where I think the fuck up happened, okay? You had a guy, and I don't know all the minutes and the facts about this case, but from what I could read in different news stories and whatnot, is that this is probably a guy that we would like, okay? He didn't like the BLM riots. Shit's going down in Chicago. He seems to be an upstanding guy. I'm assuming a lot of stuff in here, okay? And I think the feds got, I don't know, he never discharged his weapon, I take it. I don't know if it was just a routine stop. What happened that he got caught? Those are other facts I would like to know. Evidently, they weren't enough to warrant to be in the facts either argued by either side. So maybe I don't know. I think if he would have been, you know, caught doing something else during this, it would have been a problem. The point is, I think the feds wanted to make a gun rights issue out of this, right? Which is a non-gun rights, a gun control issue. So they've got an easy, easy target. It's a guy that was scared of the BLM riots. It's just like everything out. We're going to pigeonhole him. We're going to have kind of the false flags type of stuff. But here is a guy. It's easy. we're not going to deport him. Okay, that's the easy solution. We just deport this guy. We're not going to do that. Instead, we're going to charge him with a federal crime of gun possession, and then what? I don't know. You're going to put him in prison? Why don't you just deport him? But you're going to do that because it's an easy gun control, easy gun control law. Now, then the law changed, they brought him back up, and they dismiss it. Did they could have just dismissed him. They could have, deported him. Here's the problem. Do illegal aliens have rights? Well, look, you're in the jurisdiction of the United States. The Constitution applies to those in its jurisdiction. Okay, you may not be a citizen of the United States. Maybe you're over here on you're traveling. The rights are protected here, and we'll talk about rights specifically. But you are under that jurisdiction. If you're over here illegally, It's by the way, it's a misdemeanor, and they should just deport you. Okay. When they charge you, and this is an issue that's been a problem for a while, which is, do we give them due process rights? Well, if it's just a misdemeanor, well, let's go back to the Sixth Amendment, the right to counsel. And I should probably just bring up things. I have a whole list of stuff here. The right to counsel. Now that's, if you've got a felony. So kicking them out of the country with a misdemeanor, you're not even going to have a right to counsel. You're going to have due process. They're going to go bum, 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 check you out, and you're gone. Okay. And that's the easy thing. The problem they made here was they put this guy, they filed federal charges against him for gun possession as an illegal or unlawful person in the United States. That's a felony at this point. Now the court can't just railroad him because you've got to give him an attorney. You've got to do due process. You give him a chance to do a motion to reconsider. And what they indicated there is just the fact that you are an illegal alien in itself is not de facto that you are a felon. Okay. So, I mean, it's a misdemeanor and you send you home. Maybe that needs to change, right? But then you got to understand the change of that then means it's not as easy to deport people as it should be, which is, sorry, you're caught over here. And so if you want to clog it up a bit more, then we'll, you know, maybe we go through that is change it to a felony. Okay, I want to get to, I have another thing here. Let's see, this news article, Garland, equal protection, Bruin, da, da, da. I had another I wanted to do here. Alien rights. There we go. Let's look at this. Now, this is a kind of a crappy, and it's a whole article aimed at Donald Trump, but it did have some interesting parts to it. So we'll read through it. What constitutional rights do undocumented immigrants have? Now, what I did was I did check a lot of these cases to make sure that what they're talking about is not just bullshit. Because once again, this is written in, 2018 when Trump was president, and there were some issues going on there. Okay. On Sunday, President Trump tweeted that undocumented immigrants should be immediately returned from where they came. Yeah, with no judge or court cases. This along with administrative zero tolerance immigration policy and the recent spike in and by the way, we'll get to it. Andy believes this these kind of issues should not even be left up to the federal government, which brings into the 14th Amendment, which also means Andy is principled because the next question is, okay, if Chicago wants to let illegal aliens have guns, but Texas doesn't, are you okay with one and not the other? And he says, yeah, that's a state's rights issue. God bless you, Andy. This, along with the administration's zero-tolerance immigration policy and the recent spike in family separations at the border, which actually does play an issue here, a practice Donald Trump ended through executive order, okay, good, has called attention to the legal rights of immigrants in the U.S. law. What rights do undocumented... Now, look, all I'm doing here is some historical examples of rights of undocumented people, illegal aliens. I'm not saying that the law hasn't changed. I don't know. I'm not an immigration attorney. What rights do undocumented immigrants have to a court hearing and an attorney or to free speech? What rights do the children have to education? To answer these questions, we start with a more basic question. Does the U.S. Constitution apply to undocumented immigrants? Yes, without question, said Christina Rodriguez, a professor at Yale Law School. Most of the previous provisions of the Constitution apply on the basis of personhood and jurisdiction in the United States. Exactly. So you could understand you may be here illegally, but you don't just get as American get to go up and shoot that person. You may be here legally and not a U.S. citizen, but that still means that you're under the rights and provisions and laws of the U.S. Constitution. As a result, many of the basic rights, such as freedom of religion and speech, the right to due process and equal protection under the law apply to citizens and non-citizens. How those rights play out in practice is more complex. A right to due process. What the law says. The Fifth Amendment states that no person, and by the way, there you go, one again, no person, shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself or nor deprived of life, liberty without due process of law. So Fifth Amendment is due process. 14th is procedural due process, which then led into all kinds of incorporation and substantive due process and kind of bullshit there. In the issue of process at the heart of immigration cases, including Reno v. Flores, a 1993 Supreme Court case that has returned to the spotlight with a surge in family separations. The case led to an agreement requiring the government to release children to their parents, a relative, or a licensed program within 20 days. In the ruling, Justice Antonin Scalia wrote, "It is well established that the Fifth Amendment entitles aliens to due process of law in deportation proceedings." Okay, so once again, they require due process just to kick them out of the country, which you can understand. You know, my wife, I'm going to crack this open. My wife left her wallet home last week when she went to Tahoe. How does she prove that she's who she is? Maybe she doesn't look illegal, but you know, let's say she, I don't know. You'd have to be able to prove who you are. And so you need your due process. That's just all that it's saying. Sounds legit. How it works, immigrants have the right to due process, but in reality, said a fellow in law, a resident fellow in law, Andrew Arthur, policies, whatever, this guy. Courts of law run the gamut. Yeah, of course. In some cases, immigrants are not granted a hearing at all. When asked about the president's tweet, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders pointed, she was kind of a fat one, wasn't she? Pointed to the process of expedited removal, which was created by Illegal Immigration Reform and Immigration Responsibility Act of 1996. So yeah, just as you don't want to see a judge doesn't mean you aren't receiving due process, Sanders said. True. I mean, I heard Ricada talking about this, I don't know, sometime the other day. He's like, you're stealing something or you're trying to kill someone and a cop comes up. That due process can be the moment he shoots you before the bullet hits you. You know, that's, you don't have much time for the due process, but that's really where you're getting your day in court. And there it is. It's at the end of a gun. Under the expedited removal process, immigrants have been in the country illegally for less than 102 years, sorry, and are apprehended within 100 miles of the border, can be deported almost immediately without going through a court hearing. Now, I think Chicago is within 100 miles of the border. Is the lake up there? Is that the border? I don't know. The exception is asylum seekers who must be granted a hearing. The point is you get due process. Those who are not processed through expedited removal have the right to due process in immigration court, where the main goal is to decide whether a person has a legal claim to remain in the U.S. In immigration court, you have very few rights, said John Guillen, an immigration attorney who spent 6 years as a prosecutor for the U.S. and Immigration Custom Enforcement before moving into private practice. Guillen says the bar for what constitutes evidence is lax in immigration court. Documents can be do not have to be authenticated. A hearsay, a statement made out of court for the truth of matter asserted, that's my own put, as opposed to on the witness stand, counts as admissible evidence. Hearsay is not allowed in most U.S. courts. That's not true. Hearsay, it's presumed to not be, but there are exceptions to hearsay both federally and most states. Anyway, in the majority of cases, it's a lock solid 100% guarantee conviction because there's little defense and most would confess they crossed the border illegally. Okay, so yeah. Deportation. That's the key right there. The right to legal counsel. Okay, now we're going to get into some of the weeds here. What the Sixth Amendment states that in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall have the assistance of counsel for his defense. Supreme Court ruled in 1963, Gideon v. Wainwright, that if a person is too poor to hire an attorney, the government must appoint one for you. So because the deportation proceedings are civil rather than criminal, the right to legal counsel often doesn't apply. Okay. The Trump administration's zero tolerance policy now requires most illegal border crossings to be tried as criminal cases, the exception being parents who crossed the border illegally with children. Okay. After public outcry where separating families, the head of the Customs and Border Protection said Monday the agency who stopped referring parents for prosecution, other immigrants will still be charged as a crime. Under the law, anyone facing a criminal charge has the right to counsel. However, the government is only required to provide counsel if the person is accused of a felony crossing the border illegally is a misdemeanor. That's what we were talking about earlier. So that's the problem here. If it's a misdemeanor, you're not even getting this right to counsel. If they had deported the guy taking him under deportation charges, then it's a misdemeanor. You don't get this whole gun issue and he's done and over. So I think that's once again, that's where I'm putting it on the feds. He got it. Do you have YouTube, Tyler? I Drew Scott said, I do. I got a strike. I'm toast for a while. So hang on and we'll be back on YouTube, I guess, shortly. Okay. The right to be with your family. That is, I don't know. That one's so interesting. The right to vote or hold office. The right to an education. That's an interesting one because that's under Plyler v. Doe. And that came under equal protection, which is treating all parties alike. And that is a 14th Amendment debacle once again. So just keep going back to the 14th Amendment as a problem of all everything. The right against unreasonable search and seizure. The Fourth Amendment establishes the right to unreasonable search as a seizure. What it means, while this law would generally apply to both citizens and non-citizens, there's a key caveat known as the border search exception. And I think we could, if I don't know how much time we have here, but we could talk about that under the Texas law, which is basically gives them the right to be doing that. Now, the border patrol and the border agents, they do have all kinds of rights within that 100-mile section. We've talked about that before. But even then, they don't have a right to destroy your property, which was happening in Texas. I think they still need a contextual reason to be pulling you over, although being near the border is that contextual reason. So there you go. That's kind of how they get around that. Okay, so there you go. We don't talk about that in another. So now, I can't help but talk about the 14th Amendment a little bit here because and here's Andy's point, and I think this is what's confusing about some of this, which is, let's go back to, I'm gonna pop this chat out here, pop out chat so I can at least see this. Okay, Andy says states should be the only ones that are being able to do any of these things. Now, the Constitution does allow for the federal government to have some purview on your immigration, right? Enforcement, such, but states ultimately should be. I totally get that. So once again, you have an issue here where this guy was charged with a federal crime. So we can talk about, and this go into incorporation because I think that's important too. Tim Pool, he was talking about, man, should I just play some clips here? He was talking about it with Clint Russell the other night, and he was saying how things are going down bad. They're going, the shit's getting crazy in New York, and they just need to come in there and you know, wipe them out. And basically, the feds need to do this. And Clint's all like, hey, buddy, I don't think that's the way to go. I believe in states' rights. Now, he does believe in states' rights, but I've seen things on there on Twitter where he hasn't. Okay, which is maybe it's a misunderstanding. I think that's a common misunderstanding for a lot of people, which is the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment was never intended to be applicable to the states. It was only supposed to be applicable to the federal government. That's why this statute specifically, this 922 G5, actually does apply because that is pure, right? There's no incorporation. That's actual a federal thing. Now, Andy's like, but you should be able to the states should be taking this. It shouldn't even be the feds. Either way, there is a federal law that's in Congress passed it. That's the right to do. And they can pass a federal over the federal issue, which was he was within 100 miles of the border and da 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 da. So there you go. Now, let's talk about the 14th Amendment. Let me get here. I just want to say here, I wrote this down earlier, how rights work. A right is a restriction on government restriction, okay? Privileges, I guess, is what you really call what we have. What Bruin requires is a historical tradition, a restriction of the right to bear arms. It does not require historical protection of the restriction. Yeah, not protection of the restriction. It just says, is there a historical tradition of restrictions? No restrictions on gun ownership for aliens at the ratification of the Second Amendment or the 14th Amendment. Restrictions on immigration was much different back then to what it is compared now. Illegal immigration wasn't even really the same. No historical restrictions. If you have a right, if you have to fight for a right then, that is being infringed, when infringed, then you have safeguards to push back on the government. True. All right, let me go to some of this wonderful shit here in the 14th Amendment. Let's take a look. Do we actually need to see what the 14th Amendment is? I don't know. I think I would rather talk about incorporation. Let's take a look real quick at which ones are actually incorporated. Because I think that's somewhat interesting. Here we go. So fully incorporated and partial incorporation and no incorporation. Okay. First Amendment, partially incorporated. I'm sorry. Full, partial, no. First Amendment. First Amendment is fully incorporated. Fifth Amendment is partially incorporated. The right to indictment by a grand jury cannot be incorporated. Okay. Third Amendment is no incorporation. That's having someone over at your house if they're a soldier and making them stay there. Second Amendment, fully incorporated. Sixth Amendment, the right to a jury selection from residence of crime location has not been incorporated. And the Seventh Amendment is not incorporated. Fourth is fully, and the Eighth is fully. So not everything is. And what's fascinating when you look at it that way is, okay, well, the Bill of Rights just aren't automatically incorporated, okay? So it's there we go. Andy's over here. Just nuked the 14th already, said loads of honey. Garbage Man said all these fake and gay unenumerated rights. Yes, it would solve so many problems with the government. It totally would. I've talked about this. And fully believe it. So we look in here. This is the fascinating thing about the Second Amendment. Right to keep and bear arms was, as we mentioned, McDonald in 2010. So it's a recent thing. It's not even very recent. It's 14 years. So maybe we should just get rid of it. Okay, there was another case there. But I think I want to... Here, let's play... You know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to play me some Tim Pool. See if I can get this in here. Sorry, here... I hate the ads. So this is just the other day. Tim Pool. There we go. Okay. I'm going to set it up to be 1.25. Let's bring this in so everyone can see it and listen to it. Okay. Let's see if we can get here. Tim Pool talking about federal.
Exactly what Solzhenitsyn wrote about. And so the issue now with New York is the state has decided arbitrarily they can take from whoever they want. They can do whatever they want. There are no rules. Nothing applies to them.
Yes.
I hope Trump gets elected and I hope Trump sends in the feds and just occupies New York.
Well, I can't go with that direction because I'm still a states' rights guy. And I think that New York has every right to deteriorate right before our eyes. But obviously
that is incorrect. They have an obligation to uphold the constitution of this country and adhere to the supreme law of the land, which they're not doing.
Well,
when a state, it's like.
If that's the case, then Texas can't enforce the border because it's the feds that have taken that duty on. I go the other route where I say decentralized authority, allow the states to compete innovation.
That's actually incorrect because the 9th and 10th Amendment protect Texas's right to defend itself in the abs. And I believe.
How has that worked out for us so far, Tim?
It doesn't matter how it works out for us. What matters is Texas has the absolute right.
Tim's been a little bitch lately. And by the way, you have the 9th and the 10th, but those have been that's simply for some little slivers of hope that you have there. If you didn't have the 14th Amendment in this incorporation, the states would be able to do all kinds of things. I'm trying to remember the cases it was, and I need to go look at it. I think I want to say 1880, somewhere down there, and I will get the actual cases, what they are, which is when it was then decided that the Supreme Court could start to hear disputes between states within the states. In other words, so I think it had to be in the 1880s, and I'll look up the cases as well. And get those out, which is before then you appealed, let's say Georgia, Leo Frank, right? Leo Frank murders a girl. He appeals it. It goes from the district court to the court of appeals. Then they go up to this Georgia Supreme Court. You're done and over. Instead, now you get to appeal it up to the Supreme Court. Otherwise, the Supreme Court was always hearing just, you know, issues between the states or federal conflicts between the states or conflicts federally. So, okay, I'm done with this one on Tim because he kind of rants in there. I want to go to, I have a bunch of these. Let's see here. Let's see what he says about, and I think Clint's wrong. Okay, hang on. I had a lot of links going here tonight, a little bit much. Okay, on this one, go.
Actually have a due process restriction on those rights. And yeah, actually, I agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So typically when it comes to constitutional rights, they can be restricted through due process. However, considering these people are already determined to have entered the country illegally, the crime is an afterthought. Criminal status is inherent in criminal alien. Therefore, they should not be able to possess firearms as they are criminals.
Well, I got to tie it right back into Clara Piven. If Donald Trump is to be reelected and he is to do as he's promised many times.
Okay, I want to say this a little bit. Well, then they should have charged him with that. They didn't. They said you couldn't have a gun due to your status. And we just walked through that. So that's part of the problem here of everything. deport and then go from there.
The largest deportation, plan in American history. Well, if you're going to arm the migrants, that's going to make this a very tumultuous, as Luke Rudowski might say, situation.
Tumultuous.
So that is what I'm kind of torn here in a sense, which is I get what Clint is talking about, which is he's worried that there's an invasion, and with that invasion, you're giving guns to whomever. Then the other side is, well, first of all, I don't know if this case proves any of that, right? Let's go after some of these bad guys that are actually doing this kind of things. This is not your case for that, as we saw with the facts here. Okay, I have a bunch of these quotes. Let me see if I can find another little snippet here. What's this one? State Rights Revisited. This was a bit snarky with these guys, and it was somewhat painful to actually watch at one point. But... okay, I hate ads. Let's get past it, Tim. Okay. Appreciate you guys hanging out for a while tonight.
It's a week to meet our neighbors or church, whatever it may be. But short of that happening, what likely will happen is in the event Trump gets elected and begins to enact what we would feel as a cleanup, he will not be president forever. And then if Democrats make a move in 2028 and inherit any of these powers, then we're just in for
hell. We're screwed. Yeah. Well, that's the thing.
So it's a rock and a hard place.
Your enemies are going to use the same things that you put aside for yourself.
Exactly. And this is exactly why I was pushing back earlier and saying, let's let New York go, because just hear me out. The reason I'm saying that is because I want to have the Floridas and the Texases of the world allowed to uphold my beliefs. This country is divided irreparably.
On the brink.
Well, that's true. It is.
Yes. But the idea that, like, communists have taken New York, so we better let them take it.
Well,
that's insane.
Here's the reality. You could say it's insane. You can say it's insane, Tim, but here's the reality. Those people have all of the institutional power. What you're advocating for now is far more likely to be used against you than you will ever use it against them.
Welcome to war.
Institutions, yeah.
I'm not interested in war.
Which side were you on? Which side? Who are the good guys in the Civil War?
I don't think there was
the ones
guys
that didn't.
The South. Good. There we go. So, look. Clint's very close right here of doing the right thing. But once again, preach this all night long, the 14th Amendment goes away. Now those commies in that state that you love, that you left, or you haven't aren't there, Tim, now they have no control over your state. That's the big thing. You've got to separate their ability to reach to you wherever you are. And then, you know, it is. It's like, fine, then you muck it up and you be as bad as you want in that state, and I don't know that I give a shit. Tim's really on kind of a authoritarian. I don't know where he is right now. I guess he's right wing, but kind of his arguments reminded me of kind of a crazy woman that knew a lot. It was let's give it. Stoney says, do you get a free gun as you cross? Maybe. Look. That we can do a few things. One, we can recognize what the law is in the United States. Okay, we can recognize that giving illegal aliens even due process and rights. Now let me ask you this: what should be this answer? Even when this guy, this Flores guy, is not put in jail for a gun, what should be in this case was dismissed. Now what? Deportation. Then he can have his gun back in wherever he's, I'm assuming Mexico, and I can have his gun wherever he wants, and it doesn't matter because he's not here. And that then Arne McIntyre, all the right wingers can be just fine with it. Okay, it doesn't mean that you get them guns or that when you, because they're still illegal, right? So there's still a problem, and then there's still a means by which you can deport them from the country and stop them from coming in. That's the idea. So it's almost a red herring to say that, oh, you're arming all the illegal aliens. No, you're arming them just as much as you did before. Saying that 922G5, did that stop that guy from getting it? That's what the Republicans right wing always says, and the libertarians or anyone that have like guns. Those laws don't keep you from having it, right? It doesn't stop you. A gun-free zone doesn't stop, you know, shooters coming into the school. So once again, this shouldn't be an issue. This is people who aren't thinking beyond what the practicality is, which is, okay, this guy just walks out of court. His case is dismissed. You don't get him on gun charges. I guarantee you, it just said here, everyone in the facts admitted he's illegal. Deport. It's really simple at this point. So, okay, let's play another one here because I'm just going to throw them through these things. Okay.
Against, you know, alleged foreign enemy nations, which they just listed off those four nations. Well, that dries up foreign investor capital because they realize that we're now in an activated, kind of militarized financial system.
That's a bit extreme.
That's true.
It's not.
Yes, it is. How many people live in China and invest in real estate in America?
Germany is not concerned that they will be named by Congress in a bill as an enemy of the United States.
Okay, what about the 1.5 billion people that work and create in China?
China was in a codified bill listed as an adversary of the United States.
Right.
So if they chose to invest with that being the case, they made that decision, which proves what you're saying is not correct.
Well, because it hasn't gotten to as bad as it can possibly get. But once you start to ban their products outright, it's going to give investors pause when it comes to investing. Chinese investors in American real estate is astronomical.
And we'd want them to go away.
Well, if that's your perspective.
But we don't want China to own our economy. The craziest thing about the TikTok bill is that you have people defending it by saying there are thousands of people who run their businesses on TikTok. We can't shut it down. And I'm like, wow, the Chinese Communist Party has control over a portion of a large portion of American business. Wow. Now I'm even more in favor of this divestment bill. They should not have that power.
See, okay. I'm not sure exactly why I pulled that one up. I had a note here that said weaponizing the government, but it does remind me, if you watch this, Tim says a lot of these kind of things like that, which is, oh my God. And he does that about China. He does that about a lot of things. I used to like Tim, and I'm having problems because a lot of it is scare tactics now. It's the Daily Wire version. Now he's selling coffee to scare you into, I don't know, whatever it is. In this interview, he makes many, many mentions about scaring the crap out of you. Oh, it's, oh my God, it's so dangerous. You just heard him there talking about the Chinese government controlling and getting your data, and it's bad for kids, and it's scary, blah, blah, blah. Then later on, they talk about how it's a ban on TikTok. And he goes, technically, it's not. And he hates people for saying that. And so his reasoning is, no, if you don't divest, then it just can't be held here on a US-based platform. He goes, it could be held in Canada. And you know how easy it is? You just go there and you type it in because you type words on your computer and your browser and boom, you get in there and it's there. I'm like, okay, well, all kids are going to be able to do that. Like, Snap. My kids know VPN. They're very good about getting around everything. Okay. You put a lock on their stuff for school, because I don't need anymore. And they'll get around it. So if that happens and you're okay with that, Tim, but you just said you can't have this because it's so dangerous. If it's so dangerous, why is it okay to just not have it on your phone? But you can download it, probably get it through your the desktop version on your phone. So it doesn't make sense. Andy says Clint is so close, but he got scared to South. I don't know what that means. He's in Florida. Maybe that's it. Okay, so that's all we have for that portion. I wanted to read a little bit about, you know, maybe we'll save that being the rulings on SCOTUS for next time. Bummed about the ability to, he's not right wing. Who's not right wing? Andy says he's not right wing. Tim? No, but he acts like it. So prosecuting Americans for using software. Yeah, exactly. So maybe Andy will be able to join us next time. Tim Poole likes that. So sorry, people. Once again, we'll be able to live stream here to other places soon. Tonight we went to, every time I've streamed to Odyssey, there's a little bit of a glitch and I wonder if that's it. Maybe I can't do it to there. Maybe we'll just do Rumble and we'll do to X and see how that works out. So I appreciate Stony says China versus Korea. I don't know what that is, but it sounds like an anti-Tim Pool thing. Let's add this to the stage. Fox and Son Coffee, foxandsons.com. Go there, use the code REVIEW, REVIEW, and receive 18% off orders of $25 or more. Shipping is always free on orders of $37.99 or more. I love my Fox and Sons coffee. You should too. Steve Fox is one of our great supporters. He's kind of JC in a sense. He's in a lot of the chats. He's a great guy. I had him on here. We talked coffee. Tim Pool, as an example, this is, let's get back to him, because this interview with Clint was pretty good. He talked about up in New York, now it's squatters. They talked about the squatters' rights thing. And I did check that out, and it is daunting, which is for most people, either squatters, and there's other terms you can use for it. In most places, it's like 10 years or longer, you know, depending on what it is. Squatters in New York is 30 days. So you can literally go in there, and then you've got to get them kicked out. And Tim's like, I'm pulling my coffee stuff. I have it sourced in a place. Now, it's only in the city of New York, Tim. Calm your fuck down, okay? Garbage Man said, Missouri free speech case. Keep going. All right. Should we do Missouri free speech case? So the Missouri, I listened to some of the arguments. I don't have enough on me to do that. I listened to some of the arguments, and from what I gathered, there's two aspects of the Missouri. I think they combined two different arguments for the case. If you don't know about that, it was originally against Biden, Missouri, and against Biden, and then I think Biden got removed on it, so it's like the federal government. But during the pandemic and whatnot, the federal government was really pushing against all these different, you know, platforms, Facebook, X, as we know, through the Twitter files and other ones, to censor people on the COVID stuff. Alex Berenson, I think he ended up settling the case or getting something out of it. Maybe his was partially with Facebook. I don't know. I think, but there, it came out of that case that he, at least, and others were requesting to be silenced by the federal government. So what you'd think it would be a no-brainer, but it's like, it's called state action. So there's case law about when the government is so entwined into business that they basically are acting like a state actor, and you know, you don't have basically free will in a sense to run your business, or that if you're now imposing restrictions on other people on behalf of the government through your business, you are essentially a state actor. That's kind of the connection there. So anyway, you listen to some of the arguments and it was disappointing. You know, when I heard the arguments as an example, and you see the pushback and the questions from the judges. Now, it's not always the case, but a lot of times you could read from their questions where they're going to be going. And you heard the questions and the pushback on the Missouri case, and it didn't sound hopeful, right? When you heard him with the Trump on the 14th Amendment stuff, I was like, okay, this is a 6-3, no problem. It was a 9-0. Okay, it was a 6-1-3. Wait, yeah, the three chicks. So six, it was, anyway, it was 5-4, I guess, in a sense. It was 9-0, but I think it was 5-1-3 that they had two dissenting, but the consenting in part or concurring in part. Anyway, so Missouri is going to come out, and it's basically, I don't know what the ramifications are of that, because what are they asking for? They're asking for damages. They're asking for just some pushback, because they say, oh yeah, the government shouldn't do that. It was state action. Okay. Well, they'll just keep doing that, but it was disappointing. And, what's Ketanji Brown Jackson? Is that her name? Yeah. I'm trying to remember her comment. I know Reason wrote an article about it that was a little, let's see if we have it here. That was defending her, and now I don't have it, so that's great, because I thought maybe we could go through that. Let's see over here, SCOTUS on the Reason website. What do we come up with? Nope, don't have it there. Okay, there we go. I guess we're not going to talk about it. But she made some comment about that's interesting. The First Amendment is really restricting the government. That doesn't sound good. Something along those lines. You're just kind of like, really? That seems pretty bad. If you take it in context of what she was saying, I think she was actually parroting some questions. And by the way, the questions don't necessarily, and this is where people get caught wrong, which is, well, look at my question on Twitter, which is, okay, if illegal aliens don't have rights and you could just treat them like shit, right? You could kill them. Is that what that means? And people are, and I'm asking, is that what it means? And the answer would be like, no, fucker. That's not what it means. They obviously have rights and da, 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 da. But we don't think they should have guns, and we don't think they should actually first be in the United States. Okay. Without being invited. So that is the question. But people can't answer that question. So instead they, and by the way, that's what the Supreme Court justices are doing. Sometimes you're asking questions that you may not necessarily agree with just to see where the attorneys are going in that sense. Should we talk about the, no, I think we're done. I think I'm done for tonight. Sorry, Andy. We'll do another show. Someday he'll get internet, and then he and I can talk about that something else. So I do want to dig into the case with Texas. We'll go over that some more. I know there's some more stuff about. I just was reading a brief. I do some weird shit about Trump and his. Does he have immunity for acts he made while president? Okay. And the brief was really good, and it was what it stated was that he has a duty as president to through his duties as a president to conduct elections. In other words, to make sure that the elections are correct. So it's actually part of his duties, and what he was doing as part of the presidency, which you say is an insurrection and you know questioning the election. Was actually part of his duties. So therefore, he's immune to any prosecution stemming from that. Now, even in the argument, it mentions during the presidency that he should be immune. It doesn't go the Robert Barnes thing, which is since he's president, he's now immune ever from criminal prosecution. Now, just because that's always been the case, because we run their countries like this, doesn't mean that Robert Barnes is right. Okay, but he likes to think he is. Oh boy, hot one. Okay, did we solve anything? Maybe I don't want to go too soon. What I want to say about this is I don't know. I think the left's wrong. I think the right's wrong. A lot of this. I'm heartened to the ruling on guns and the liberalization and the lessening of the restrictions that allow good people to have guns, and it wants to take it at the Bruin on a case by case. That's perfectly fine with me. I don't necessarily have much of a problem. The less restrictions you have, the better. That's great. What I do have a problem though is not deporting the illegal aliens. So that is still out there, and that has to be said. And people that are like, "But Tyler, if this guy was coming into your property, okay. But if you do the facts on this, this guy would have come into my property. He would have had a gun, and he would have been shooting black people because he was worried about the riots." And I'm like, I don't know. What do you want me to do on this case? This is a bad one. All right, we're out. Thanks, everybody. Till next week. Blah.
Okay, I'm leaving now. Bye, guys.
But she's back.
And now.
Chick-fil-A is completely overrated. It's not that good. I prefer Zaxby's. I prefer Popeyes.
Takes a tough man to make a tender forecast, Nick. I guess that's me. Keep fucking that chicken.
Should I vote for Dick Cheney on the Libertarian Party? Do I have an obligation to vote for Dick Cheney?
I would say so.
Yes.
Well, did it work for those people?
No, it never does. I mean, these people somehow delude themselves into thinking it might, but it might work for us.
That one dude was like, not a podcast, I can't find it anywhere, and they don't have video.
Oh, yeah, Peter Janky, yeah.
Yeah, I blocked him.
I'll do it. If he unblocks me, I'll...
He'll buy your shirt if you unblock him, Bert.
He's a wigger.
Yeah, nothing cooler than so a 49-year-old wigger. Like,
I just started live streaming. Cut me some slack. I'm pretty high-tech for a boomer. But... Anyways,
boomer.